Proverbs chapter 20 in verse number 14. We're going to get right into it if you don't mind. And how many are leaving tonight after the service to go home? Okay, everybody should be raising their hand right now. So I should have put... You're going to go home? Would you go home now? How many have to drive hours? You're not from Long Beach. You have to drive someplace to go home. You're leaving tonight after church, okay? How many have a long drive ahead of you? You have a long drive ahead of you? Okay, good. How many of you teenagers are going to sleep on the way home? You're going to sleep on the way home, okay? How many of you youth workers hope they go to sleep on the way home? Okay, how many are going to feed them melatonin to get them to sleep on the way home? I had a went to camp one year, and the... they had different cabins, and I would go around and inspect the cabins. And I always noticed I came to this one cabin of the 7th and 8th graders, and they were all 30 minutes after bed, they were all asleep. And I thought to myself, boy, you're good. And I told the counselor that was in that cabin, I said, you're good. He said, I know, you just have to have a knack for getting these kids to bed. And I thought to myself, wow, I need to make you youth pastor because I'm having a hard time getting mine to bed. So I went back the next night. Sure enough, 30 minutes, they were all in bed, sound asleep. I went back the third night, sound asleep, 30 minutes after they got to their cabin, sound asleep. I thought, I'm going in there. I'm going to find out what's going on. Went in the last night, he had them all line up, and he said, gentlemen, once again, we're going to drink the juice, and we're taking the Lord's Supper tonight. And he would have them line up, and he had these red cups, and he had Gatorade. But what they did not know was he had laced this thing with melatonin, and melatonin is a natural health sleep aid, and he had put double the dose of melatonin in there, and he would... He's never going to be spiritual, and we are going to take the Lord's Supper. And they had some type of peanut butter cracker, and they had the juice, and these guys, 7th and 8th graders, were falling for it. And sure enough, about 30 minutes later, they are asleep. And so tonight, we're going to take the Lord's Supper right after, and we have melatonin to pass out. I do not suggest you do that. That could really get yourself in trouble, but I thought it was a great idea. Anyways, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 14, and I want us to read this verse together out loud, one verse that we'll focus on tonight, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 14. Could we read it together? Are you ready? Patio, you following with me. Here we go. Ready? It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Very interesting verse right there. Should stick out in your mind. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Young people, I want you to listen very, very closely tonight. I'm going to preach on this subject. The buyer is the boaster. The buyer is the boaster. And if you'll give me your heart, give me your mind. I know there's a lot of distractions. Y'all look like you have been burnt on the grill someplace. You're very red-faced, amen? But if you'll pay attention, and we'll try not to be too long, but we'll be just long enough for God to do something, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know that this is the time and this is the place that we're to be at tonight. Lord, in your infinite wisdom, you worked it out. You worked it out so the right people would be here to hear this sermon. Lord, this sermon is of no value unless you speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I know that it is your desire to use preaching to speak to people's hearts. Lord, there's no way that I as an individual, even if I spent 1 year interviewing the people who were going to be here tonight, there's no way that I know everything that's going on. I have no idea what's going on in the lives and the hearts, what's going on back home, or what these young people are going to be facing. Lord, that's why I really believe when you talked about the foolishness of preaching, that, Lord, sometimes the reason we think that preaching is foolish sometimes is because how does it work? It's just amazing how that one man can preach an eternal book, and then, God, you can do an eternal work in everybody's heart on a different level. God, help us to respect your word tonight. Help us to respect what you're trying to do. I pray the young people would not goof off tonight. I pray that they would not talk to their neighbor. I pray that they would just draw a circle around themselves and that they would listen to the preaching of your word. Lord, you're in control. We know that. Bless now your eternal book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Our economic system in America is built upon a simple concept. You have a buyer, you have an item, and you have a seller. It has always been in this country, and is sometimes becoming less and less, that an item is only as worth as much as someone is willing to pay for that item. You may sell an item for X, but unless somebody's willing to pay X, that item's really not worth that amount. It's an amazing process if you've ever seen it done. Especially in foreign countries, you can bicker over a price. You can dicker over a price. You stand there and someone may want to sell you this item for so much, and then you can look at them and say, I'm not going to pay you that much for that item. And then you start down a path of negotiation about an item. Our text verse implies a story. It implies the story of a man who went to someone who had something he wanted, and he used the phrase, it is not, trying to describe the condition and value of the item he wanted. Basically, the buyer was trying to convince the seller that what he possessed was of no value. That's very important for the sermon. In our story, that simple verse simply says this, that the man that was saying it is not, the guy who was buying the item was trying to convince the seller that the item was not worth very much. He would point out the flaws of that item. He would point out the bad conditions surrounding that item. He would show how that the seller had no use for that item anymore. He would show how that the future life of this item was overrated, thus trying to buy a great deal at a cheap price. The buyer wants the seller to think he is doing him a favor by buying this item, this worthless item, from the seller. Then according to our verse, once the transaction is made, once the price is settled upon and the buyer has bought this item cheap, the Bible tells us that when he finishes the transaction, that his attitude is one of boasting. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. It is the job of the buyer to convince the seller that the item's not worth very much. So the buyer convinces the seller to sell something valuable at a cheap price. Then the buyer walks away and boasts about how gullible the seller was, how dumb the seller was, how idiotic the seller was. How could the seller sell such an item at such a low price? And then the buyer starts boasting about how dumb the seller was. The only person I could think of when it came to this verse was the devil. The devil is the master buyer in this life. He's a con. He's a liar. He's a smooth talker. The Bible tells us he seeks whom he may devour. And you tonight, teenager, possess something that the devil wants very badly. And it is his job, day after day, time after time, to come to you and try to convince you that what you have is of no value. And what you have is worthless. And what you have, you will never use at any other time in your life. But young people, never forget this. The only thing the devil wants from you is to sell cheap to him, so that when he's bought from you and he suckered you into a low price and you gave into his words, that he can walk away and boast. The devil one day decided he was bigger than God. Please listen. The devil decided one day that he did not want God to reign. He tried to take on God and he was defeated. God kicked the devil and one third of the angels out of heaven. Ever since that day, the devil, listen to the statement, has hated God and everything that God has created. Did you hear that? He hates God. And he hates everything that God has created. And listen to me, he'll never be able to defeat God. Did you hear that? The devil will never be able to defeat God. Don't listen to this modern theology that says it's going to be a run for the money at the end. It's not going to be a run for the money at the end. We have the last chapter written in the book, amen, and the devil loses, and the devil for a season is set loose, but then he gets his, bless God. And I'm going to tell you right now, I hope he puts him through the gauntlet line of saints and let us get our kick in before he goes to the bottomless pit, because the devil's going to lose. So he hates God. Because he hates God, he hates anybody who looks like God. And ladies and gentlemen, whether you know this or not, you were made in the image of God. And because he can't get to God, then he hates you. I don't mean he just doesn't like you. I don't mean he just tolerates you. Every time he sees you, you are stamped with the image of God. And because of that, there is a deep-seated hatred for anybody who looks like God. He doesn't hate the animals like he hates you. He hates you because you are stamped with the image of God. He may not be able to get God, but I promise you this, if he can get you, then that is a flying in the face of God. Anybody who's a child may know this. You may not like me, but don't take it out on my child. Don't take it out on my children. If you've got something to say, you walk up and say something to me. I am a Gray. I don't know if you know that or not. My name is Bob Gray. My name is Bob Gray the Second. What that means is there's a Bob Gray Senior. My father's been in the ministry long enough that he has made some enemies because of his stand on a couple of things. I was preaching someplace the other day, and a man walked up and he said, "I hate your father." And I was like, "Well, praise God. I didn't like him too much when I was 16 myself, but I never told him, amen." He said, no, you don't understand. I don't like your father." I said, "What's that got to do with me?" He said, "You look just like he did when he was your age, and I don't like you either." I was like, "Well, hey, I'm in pretty good company, amen." I said, "Sir, I don't know you, but I don't like you either, amen. And your mama's ugly on top of that, so take that." He looked at me and he said, "You don't even know my mama." I said, "You must look just like her then, amen." I understand that that's how much the devil hates you. He hates you because you look like your father. And he's always doing everything he can to get back at God. He tried to get to God by overthrowing him. No one overthrows God. So now he has spent his entire existence since the beginning of mankind trying to convince every single believer that what they have in the Christian life is of no value, only to walk away boasting about how he got God's children to sell to him. His mantle in hell is lined with people and things that people sold to him that he constantly is reminding God, "You failed." And he's constantly trying to let God know, "You're not a very good father. Your children sold to me at a cheap price." Listen to me, teenagers. People before you have sold to him. People before you have listened to him. People before you had something very valuable. People before you had something very precious. People before you, down through the history and the ages, have sold to the devil cheap, only for the devil to look to heaven and go, "Hey, God, look, your children sold to me cheap. They're a bunch of suckers. Look at me, God. I bought cheap at the marketplace of life." Don't let the devil use you to fly in the face of God. Don't let the devil, Paul, bring your name up as a constant failure to God, that you are not strong enough to take on him. You listen to me. The devil's coming to you tonight saying, "It's not. It is not." He's trying to convince you teenagers that what you have right now, and by the way, you think you've got it tough. You've got it made. You're young. You've got your days ahead of you. You've got beaches of life with no footprints on them. Now, don't make bad footprints, and don't sell to the devil right now something you're going to need somewhere in the future. It is not, saith the buyer. We're going to take a trip through the Bible. We are going to look at several people that the devil convinced to sell at a very cheap rate. If I could use you, ma'am, would that be okay? Yes, ma'am. If I could use you, if you could stand right there in front of Brother Charlie, if you don't mind. You'll start in the book of Genesis. And don't write this down, just stand all the way up. Could I get you to step all the way up? Can you do that? There you go. Step all the way up here. That'd be okay. Thank you very much for doing that, ladylike. And scoot all the way down there to the edge of the platform and hold your sign out front. Can I get you to do that? He came to Eve one day, and he said to Eve, the devil did very subtly, Eve, this is a perfect home, Eve. And Eve, you live in an environment that there's no evil. Eve, let me tell you about this home. Eve, if you'll give me your home, I'll be able to make you like a god. And Eve, the only reason God says don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil is because God's trying to hold back from you something. God's trying to keep you from experience something. And if God really loved you, he would let you eat of it because God knows in the day that you eat of it, you'll become just like him and you'll be able to have the knowledge that he has. And he came to Eve and Eve sold to him her home. She sold to him her perfect home. You want to know why? Because she believed the devil when he said, your parents are trying to hold something away from you, and they're trying to keep you locked in here to where you won't get out and enjoy yourself. And teenagers, listen to me. The day that Eve sold the devil her home is the day that this verse comes to life. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. Can you see that day that Eve ate of that fruit and Adam ate of that fruit and God had to kick them out of the garden? Can you see on the mantle of hell how that devil steps up and puts the home on there? And then he says, God, hey, God, look here. Look what I bought cheap on the marketplace of life today. I told her that you were trying to keep something from her, and she sold me her home. Some of you right now are listening to the devil, and you're going to sell him your home. You're going to sell him your parents. You are going to walk away from your home when you're 18. Right now, some of you are already marking time on the walls of your mind and in your life, and you're 15 and you're 16, and you've got this anger built up on the inside that says this: when I get 18, I'm moving out, moving in with my brother, or I'm moving in with my uncle, or I'm moving in with my aunt. Listen to me. Don't listen to the devil when he tells you it's not, saith the buyer, because he doesn't want your home. He just wants you to sell cheap so he can throw it in the face of God. Your home's the best place you've ever lived. Stay inside that home. Sleep in your own bed. Hug on your own mom and dad. You say, but they're trying to keep me from doing something. They're trying to keep you alive. Some of you fight with your mom and you fight with your dad, and it's nothing but the devil around you getting you to devalue your home. Listen to me. If you're alive, your mama must have loved you enough that she never aborted you. Don't leave that home. Don't listen to him. Others have sold their home. Others have walked out only to regret, only to wake up that next morning and say, my God, what have I done? I've been in this thing for 25 years, and if I had a nickel for every time I had to crawl out of bed at 3:00 in the morning and go hunt for a teenager who decided I can't take home anymore. And the devil's trying to tell you that there's something better out there, that your parents are just trying to keep something from you. That's a lie. That's a lie. And all he's doing is get you to be at odds with your mom and your dad so that one day you can walk out. I beg you right now, make things right with your mom and your dad and decide tonight, I'm not selling my home. I'm going to leave my home, and I'm going to leave in a good testimony, and I'm going to leave to go to Bible college, or I'm going to leave to get married, but I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to make my mama cry. I'm not going to make my daddy break his heart. I'm not going to listen to the devil. And when you think life's too hard, you hang in there. Don't sell your home. It's written all over the face of some of you. That boldness and that independence that swells in the life of a teenager is nothing more than a precursor to them leaving the home.
I see it all the time. They're independent. I want nobody to tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to dress. I can do my own things. I can walk my own way. And there's plenty of adults sitting underneath the sound of my voice that either they had or they know somebody that had left their home and sold it because they thought mom and dad were too hard, and they walked out and became a mama in the next couple of months and walked out and got a disease in the next couple of months. And they would be the first one to stand here and say this: no matter how bad it gets, you tell the devil to take a flying leap and don't sell your home, because no matter how bad it is inside your home, it's a whole lot worse out there. Plus, if you change your stinking attitude about your mom and dad, you wouldn't sell your home. A I'm sorry from you. Some of you right now, please don't sell your home. Remember on one occasion, I spent all night with a dad looking for his daughter. 17, she ran away from home. And in 17 in the state of Texas, you're considered an adult. And on her 17th birthday, she just took off. I saw Dad sit in the front seat and just weep and just cry. Spent all night looking for her. We couldn't find her. 2 days from then, all of a sudden, she came to the office, walked in and sat down. She literally looked like somebody had beat her up. And I said, "Where have you been?" She said, "Oh, Brother Bob, it was the worst 2 nights of my life." She said, she started telling me stories. And I just sat there and started weeping. And I said, "Was it worth it?" She said, "I wish I would have stayed at home. Because no matter how bad it was at home, at least my mama loved me and kissed me goodnight. At least my daddy worked hard." They're not trying to keep anything from you. You're not missing anything by staying at home. You say, "But I don't want to be old underneath that old man's rule." Let me tell you something. If he goes works a job, and if mama loves you and cleans your clothes and cooks for you, she loves you, you stay at home. And every one of you need to make a decision tonight. I'm not selling my home. And I'm not leaving my home in a wake of disgrace and making my mom and dad cry. Your last day at your house needs to be like my last day at my house. I walked in and had my suit ready to get married. It was the last time I ever stepped foot inside my house. And I walked up to my mom and threw my arms around my mom and said, "Mom, I love you. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me." I stuck my hand out and shook my dad's hand. And my dad said, "Son, we'll see you in a couple hours." I remember moving out my very last box out of my room, standing looking at my room, and going, "I'm so glad I did this thing right. I've not stepped foot back into my house as a resident there in 25 years. But I will tell you this, I didn't sell the devil my home. I may have wanted to have leaved 100 times, but I'm so glad I didn't. That sitting on the mantle in the devil's mansion is a trophy of Eve. Eve sold her home. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth." Number two, the second thing you're going to find out. Could I use you? Would that be okay if you'll stand next to her? The second person is Lot. Lot sold to the devil. The devil came to Lot. Stand right there if y'all could face straight. The devil sold. That Lot came to the devil and said, Lot. You know, you're living with Uncle Abe, and you've got everything that you want, but you know what? These blessings are overrated. They're having way much more fun over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the devil convinced Lot that the fun they were having here with Uncle Abe was not near as fun as the fun they were having over there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the devil kept convincing and kept convincing and kept convincing that they are well-watered plains. They are well-watered cities. The grass is greener on the other side. And the laughter you hear from over there, that's true laughter. And he convinced Lot to sell the blessings of God. Listen to me. Their laughter is hollow. Their parties have hangovers. Their good times cost them money. Their great times bring about guilt. They carry guilt and guilt and guilt every night they party. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the good times in here in the house of God. This is where the party's at. This is where the laughter's at. This is where the next morning you don't have to worry about what you said or what you did or who you hung out with. That's not partying over there. That's just a precursor to a damned life for the devil, that he'll get what he wants. But he only wants it because he hates God. And he's convincing a lot of teenagers that the fun here is boring. Sitting on the mantle of the devil is Lot. Think about the devil. Hey, God. Yeah, down here. Look what I bought cheap today. Oh, yeah. He's living in a city full of queers. Look what I bought. It is not, saith the buyer, but then when he boasts it, then he walks away boasting. Hey, God, I bought a home today. I bought a good blessing today. And Lot found himself living amongst the Sodomites. Did you hear that? Living among them. He had become so corrupted. And I would never say anything in mixed company that would hurt the minds of people. He became so corrupted that he was willing to offer girls. And the city was so wicked that the men didn't even want the girls, they wanted the two angels. And Lot knew these guys, called them brethren. Walked out and said, hey, bro. And they said, yes. He said, hey, bro, hey, man. What? Let me tell you something. You won't be laughing when you wake up with a bunch of heathens. And I'm here just passing through your world tonight to tell you this. Don't sell. Don't sell. Don't let the world convince you that they're having a good time. They may sound good on a CD, but their life is a bunch of junk. I don't know if you know who Neil McCoy is, country and western singer. He lives in my town. He lives 5 miles from me. I see him in Walmart. I fly on planes with him. There are country and western stars always coming to my little East Texas town because they're going to hang out with Neil McCoy, Grammy winner, Neil McCoy, country and western. I think he made famous Boot Scoot Boogie. I don't know what he did. But I'll see him. And he knows who I am. And I'll say, hey. Say, hey, pastor, how you doing? I said, when are you going to get right with God? It's a shame. Immoral people. I don't cut him any slack. I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't want him being used by the devil to tell our young people that it's all about dance floor and party. No, it's not. It's about you losing your life, and it's about you losing your thing. Let me tell you something. A lost man can dance that way and make a lot of money, but you're saved. That means you'll never make a success in this world by living this vile, wicked lifestyle because you weren't made that way. You were stamped in the image of God, and the devil's trying to convince you with its music and its movies, and you are listening and watching so many things that you think it's laughter all the time. And at 2.5 men, they laugh all the time. But let me tell you something. You wouldn't want those actors' lifestyle because they go home empty. That's why they have to drink. They go home empty. That's why they have to do drugs. They go home empty. That's why they have to have a thrill with immorality. They go home empty. That's why they have to get another tattoo. They go home empty. That's why they have to get another piercing. They have to find their identity with something, and they go from this identity to this identity to this identity. You give me a good old-fashioned dose of Abraham living to where I've got my identity, and my identity is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to be a trophy for the devil on his mantle. I'm not selling my good times here. You say, but the music is so boring. I know. It's boring if you don't love Jesus. But if you love Jesus, it's not boring. I watched our dear sister sing for the past two nights solos, and there were the majority of us were soaking it all in. But there were some of you out there just going, oh, I can see it on your face. Oh, this is boring, and that's the boring. Let me tell you something. That is like the angels of heaven singing. You want to know why? Because she's singing about our Savior. Don't sell, because the time that you sell is the time you become a blot in the face of God. I don't want to be used to hurt God. It is not, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. He boasts about Eve's home. He boasts about Lot's blessings. He came to another young lady, and if I could use you, would that be okay? Come on up here, sister. He came to another young lady in Genesis chapter 34. If I could just get you to kind of step up here modestly. Can you do that? Thank you all very much. Thank you. Her name was Dinah. Dinah in Genesis chapter 34 and verse number 1. And Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. What did the devil want from Dinah? He wanted Eve's home. He wanted Lot's blessings. What did he want from Dinah? Her purity. Her purity. In this day and time, everyone here has to make a conscious decision to keep yourself pure. It's a decision you've got to make. You know why I don't drink? I made a decision not to drink. And I made a decision when I was a teenager that I would keep myself pure. First kiss at the altar. First handhold at the altar. First time being alone was after the wedding reception. The first time to have her put her head on my shoulder was after the wedding reception. The first time to play footsies was at the wedding reception. And let me tell you something. The devil is after your purity. Listen to me. Don't sell it to him. He's going to tell you that it's cheap. He's going to tell you that if you don't test drive the girl or test drive the guy, you won't know what kind of guy or girl you're getting. That's a lie. When you're pure and you keep yourself pure, you don't have to test drive anything, bless God. You just put it out there because God knows unto the pure all things are pure. You won't know any different if you'll keep yourself pure. Don't sell to the devil. Some of you playing footsies and holding hands and playing smash face. You better stop that kind of junk, because it's leading to one thing. The devil wants your purity only to throw it back in the face of God. You say, well, if I can't claim having kissed a guy, they'll think I'm a lesbian. Let me tell you something. You tell them to drop dead. God give us some teenagers who will make up their mind, I'm not selling. And something happens when you become impure. You lose your confidence. You lose your innocence. You lose your excitement. You lose your ability to get involved. When they were playing these games up here, some of you are sitting there going, this is stupid. Can we just get on with life? You want to know what you're telling me? You've crossed some impure boundaries with someone, and that's why you're acting grown up. The only reason you're acting grown up is because you've done some things you shouldn't do. Let me tell you something. Purity and ignorance is a good place to live, and purity and ignorance will let you enjoy life. Don't sell to him your purity. Now, I'll give you a good piece of advice. You ready? I don't care if you're 35 or 45 and you're single all the way down to 16. If you've ever touched anybody of the opposite gender, I wouldn't date that person. I wouldn't marry that person. I would cut it off right now, because you don't need to carry baggage into a marriage. Now somebody say amen. You say, well, that's not popular preaching. I know it's not, but I'm tired of divorces, and I'm tired of marital problems, and I'm tired of fights. When you go in pure, you'll have a marriage that's pure, and you'll end up being pure. Cut it off, because if you gave in once, you'll give in twice. You need somebody that you started out right with. I cannot believe that we live in an age and time when adults that should know better think that they can be in a car alone with another adult and think nothing's going to happen. Well, I'm 45. You can't tell me what to do. Bless God, let's be smarter than the devil. And let's not give place to the devil. And let's not give him an opportunity. Unless you're not a red-blooded American male. If you're a twink, go alone. But if you're a man, you can't be alone. Come on now. You teenagers sitting out here, every young lady, keep yourself pure. Don't sell to the devil. Do you have any idea that when Dinah sold, Oh, what'd you get today? Oh, you're not going to believe what I bought. I convinced this little girl that her purity was not really worth as much as mom and dad told it was. And I got her to go see the Daughters of the Land. You did? Oh, yeah. Wait till I spring this one on God. And guess what happened? What? She was attacked. And a bunch of men stole her purity. But that's not the best of it. Then their brothers got mad, and guess what they did? They went and murdered a bunch of people. Hey, God! Hey! Big God! Look what I bought today. I bought her purity. You're not so hot of a God, are you? She didn't even believe enough in you that her purity was worth anything. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he's gone his way, then he boasteth. Can I use you in the end? Would that be okay? Come here. You march through the Bible, and you come down to a man called Samson. The devil's always buying. Listen to me. He's a junk collector. He's always buying, and he's always using his words to wear down the saints, and he's using the world to wear down the saints to make you think you're actually missing something. To make you think that if I don't jump at the scholarship, I'm going to miss out on the big bucks. And the devil's always convincing you that where God has placed you is not really the place, and God kind of made a mistake, and mom and dad are whacked out for even bringing me to the church like this. Listen to me. The devil's buying. What does Samson? If you go, don't turn there, but in the book of Judges, you're going to find out that Samson was the 13th judge of Israel. He was supposed to grow old serving the Lord. The devil convinced him that being a judge and living underneath, now listen very closely, living underneath a set of guidelines was foolish and that he had the right to play around. And in playing around, guess what it cost him? It cost him his future ministry. Now, all you preachers who have surrendered, if you're a preacher boy here tonight and you have surrendered to preach the gospel, at some point somewhere, would you stand to your feet right now? You have surrendered to preach the gospel. And you're a young man here. I'm speaking specifically to you. Now you listen to me. The devil is after you to sell your future ministry for a woman. Now you better make sure that there are three things that will kill you: fame, finances, and females. And you better be smart enough to understand this. Don't sell your future ministry. Samson ended up at the grindstone of life with his eyes out, doing nothing but grinding in a circle. We don't need men of God grinding in a circle. And there are enough men of God who should be pastoring right now and should be leading God's people right now that are lined up on the mantle in the mansion of the devil, and he simply uses it in the face of God. Look, God, I got Samson. He was supposed to be your leader. He was supposed to be your judge, but he couldn't keep his hand out of the belly of a dead ox, a dead lion to get that honey. He was supposed to be your leader, but he couldn't keep his head out of the lap of Delilah. Now you listen to me. You make sure every day you live that you don't sell to the devil your future ministry. The people you're going to influence years from right now are much more important than you getting a thrill and you getting a temporary rush. Listen to me. Don't sell to the devil. And sit down. It is not, saith the buyer. Boy, it's stacking up, isn't it? It's collecting, isn't it? Oh, yeah. I bought Eve's home. I bought Lot's blessing. I bought Dinah's purity. I bought Samson's future ministry. Hey, God, you're not too hot now, are you? They're falling one by one. You keep walking down through the ages. And I come to the last one, and that is David. Brother John, I'm going to get you to help me if you don't mind. You come down through the ages. Go stand over there. Now I want to talk to you very simply and listen to me very closely. What was it about David that the devil convinced to sell? Are you ready? His reputation for doing right. His reputation for doing right. Now I want everyone to listen to me very closely. Some of you have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ since you have been in seventh grade. You have been a good teenager at seventh grade. You have been a good teenager at eighth grade. You have been a wonderful teenager at ninth grade. At 10th grade, you have played it straight. But you're starting to get into your 11th and 12th grade year, and you're asking yourself, what do I get for playing it straight? Why should I play it straight anymore? Well, what do I get for being the Miss Goody Two Shoes? I get to eat alone. I didn't get included in the gossip. What do I get? And I'm telling you, the devil will wait till you build a reputation for right, and then he'll come to you and he'll try to convince you that you're wasting your life by living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to try to tell you it's cheap. You don't need it anymore. You put your time in. If this is all you get, you shouldn't go any further. David was a very interesting character. Do you know that in 2 Samuel chapter 11, don't turn there, you'll find out that David, for the very first time, did not go to battle. Let me tell you how this worked. The nation Israel was meant to be a fighting people. They had no taxes under the reign of David. What they would do is in the fall and in the spring, they would go and rob other nations, rob from them to bring back the gold and the silver and everything, and that's how they kept their country going. Then in the spring, when they ran out of money, they'd get together another group of guys, come on, we got to go get some more money, and they would go rob and bring back. That was God's way. It wasn't until Saul came into being, and Solomon, that you find out that all of a sudden they started levying taxes. God meant for David twice a year to go rob to keep God's people going. He had such a reputation that David and his men are coming. People feared David. People feared the men. But one day he decided not to go. And it was on that day he decided not to go that his reputation got ruined because of a woman named Bathsheba. Keep it going one more day. Don't sell to the devil your reputation. You're a good girl. Keep it that way. You're a good guy that loves God. Keep it that way. Stop gravitating to the people in the youth department that are on the rim of life and they're on the edge and they're always doing things edgy and they're always dressing on the edge and they're always listening to music that's on the edge and they got a bad relationship with mom and dad. You get yourself right back to the center of God's will and get back to being a good kid. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be middle of the road. You get back in the center and be somebody who's on fire for God. I see it happen all the time. They start out on the front row excited. Then they go to the middle of the auditorium. And then you find them in the back of the auditorium. And they're just headed to the back door. Don't let that be you. You've done it right all these years. Now you hang in there. It's sad anymore that you meet young ladies in their 20s and 30s that are not married. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the young men couldn't keep it going. We lost a generation of young men who gave in. They were doing good. But they gave in. And the pool of eligible young men are diminishing. And they're leaving great girls who said, I'm going to play it straight, Pastor. I'm going to build me a reputation. And they have built reputations for years and years, waiting, Brother Esposito, for the right guy to come along. Well, what happened to the guys all these years that should have been building the right reputation? I'll tell you what it was. They weren't getting anything out of life. So they decided to go to the devil, and they sold cheap. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, you look at me and listen to me. A girl inside the house of God will be more faithful than a girl you'll find outside the house of God. Amen on that one. A girl inside the house of God will love you unconditionally. A girl outside the house of God will only love you till you get fat. And when you walk and it takes longer for your blubber to stop blubbering, when you stop, she's going to drop you like a hot potato. You say, not me, I'm always going to stay athletic. You're a liar too. But I'm going to tell you right now, David sold. Because the devil came one day and said, you've gone a lot. Your reputation is known as a man who's a fighter. You're feared. Take a Sunday off. Take soul winning off. Don't read your Bible today. You've read enough Bible to carry you. You've gone to enough church to carry you. Listen to me. Nobody goes to enough church to carry them through a missed service. And some of you are going to justify missing a church service because you've always gone. Don't sell to the devil. Because the devil has a way of throwing it back in the face of God. Can you imagine God's heart? Look at all the people who sold. Can you imagine how broken God's heart is? but there's one spot left. You. And the devil right now is coming to you going, hey, can we talk about your life? It's really not that hot. These rules and regulations and these standards in here, these people are all fakes and phonies. I tell you who the real concerned people are. They're the actors on TV. And they are the artist. Because after all, they would never let them make a CD if they weren't upstanding people. And these are good people. And the devil right now walks among young people, and he's always seeking whom he may devour, and he's telling you it's not worth it. You're being laughed at. You're being ridiculed. And he's wanting you to sell only so that he can look back at God and go, it still works. From the very beginning of time all the way down to now, look what I bought cheap. And I meet them all the time after they come back. On my way to the airport, I stopped by a fruit smoothie place. I think out here the equivalent would be a Jamba Juice. Someone put your hand over your heart on that one. Jamba Juice. I promise you at the Lord's Supper, that's what's going to be served. Jamba Juice. How many like Jamba Juice? Would you raise your hand? You all are going to be right there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Stop by a fruit smoothie place. Miss Kelly and I did because she took me to the airport, and I had a couple of minutes, and I was getting something out of my luggage, and she went in, and I was not going to go in, but then I decided to go in. When I went in, standing behind the counter was one of our college students from years ago, and I saw her, and she saw me, and our eyes met. She dropped her head, and she just said, "Hi, Brother Bob," and I said, "Hi. I haven't seen you in years. I didn't know you still lived here." She said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Tell me about your life. I'm just excited to see you." She's been divorced. She is going through a really tough time right now. And it looks like this Sunday she's going to take a chance on me and come to church with me this coming Sunday. And I begged her to come. I said, "Would you please come? I would sure love to see you in church." She said, "You know, I've not changed my cell number since it first came out. I've had the same cell number for about 10, 12 years. Haven't changed it at all. It'll be the same from here to Timbuktu." She said, you know how many times I pulled out your cell number and even dialed it but never pushed send? Because I didn't know what you would think." She said, "Well, I gave in." Let me tell you something. Don't give in to the devil. Tonight needs to be that kind of night to where you put your focus back on God and not the things going around you. Set your affection on things above. Get to that point to where you say, "I'm staying faithful to God. And I'm not going to sell my home. I'm not going to sell my blessings. I'm not going to sell my purity. I'm not going to sell my future ministry. And I'm not going to sell my reputation." And tonight needs to be that kind of night to where you make up your mind once and for all. I don't care how bad it seemingly gets inside church and God's will. I'm not selling. Some of you come from incredible bad homes, but you look at me. You can live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter where you're at, because living for the Lord Jesus Christ is a relationship you share with him on the inside that brings about such conviction on the outside that Peter told us this, that by your conversation you can win people around you. You just got to hang in there. If others can do it, you can do it. Now, don't sell. I'm going to ask some very pointed questions at this point. And I'm going to ask you to respond. How many tonight would say this, "Brother Bob, I've been thinking about selling my home. And the thought has crossed my mind that my home, that I just really shouldn't be there." Would you just raise your hand? Just say, "Pastor, that's me." Anybody like that tonight would say that? I will tell you this. That's how the devil works. He'll get you to play the game on the inside. You know what God wants? For you to be honest with him on the outside. Because he sees it all. And some of you say, well, I don't want to break my mom and dad's heart. Then don't break your mom and dad's heart. Some of you probably going to sell because you think they're having more fun out there. Well, look at how they're dancing. Have you noticed the stars always stay young? They never get old. There's a reason for that. And then you say that sell your purity. Some of you right now need to cut off some relationship with some people. And if I asked you right now, are you touching someone of the opposite gender on a consistent basis right now on purpose? It doesn't matter. If you're playing footsies with them, you're holding hands with them, or you're accidentally brushing up against them every chance you get. Are you doing that right now? If you are, you're going to sell your purity only to end up with nothing. Sermon's very simple. Don't sell. Don't be someone that the devil throws it back in God's face. Hey, God, look what I got tonight. Bought it cheap. You're looking at one guy that decided, you can't have my home, you can't have the blessings, you can't have my purity, you're not going to take my future ministry from me, and I'm going to keep it going because you're not getting my reputation. I'm not the poster child for success, but I'll tell you what I am. I'm one happy man, and I'm one blessed man, and I got no regrets. And I finally reached the age of my life to where I could really stinking care less what the world does. You let it get out of control, and I look at it like it's stupid. It has no attractions for me. Driving down the day, a hoopty going up and down, coming through the intersection. And I looked at the guy with me, and I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I wish I had one, though. That's the dumbest thing I ever seen. Well, I'm going to tell you, it holds no attraction for me. I'm begging you, don't sell. And some of you under pressure, under immense pressure, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you very much.